Chapter 10, Booed Off the Stage at Tribe Called Quest. Now, right around the time that Golden Child and I started a group, we felt a real passion to be a light in the darkness. This is the early days in the internet. So I would go to my local public library, hop on the internet, and research concerts that were coming to Florida. I looked for mainstream artists primarily. When I found a show that I thought I'd be a good fit for, I'd start hitting up the promoters. I found shows all over Florida, from Orlando to Miami, to South Beach, to my local neighborhood, to Tampa. Our philosophy was simply to be as dope as possible with our show, and then maybe we get a chance to share our faith off stage. It's very much a matter of earning respect first in that world. Only after you earn a measure of it, then you could share what you believe. We've been heavily influenced by a few rappers that had that sort of approach and methodology. The only problem was the fact that we were two white guys. I mean, I know, obvious, right? But it was a factor that nobody thought about. Florida was so segregated and so racially divided at the time, there were times where we wouldn't even get a chance to perform because we'd just basically immediately get booed. It was tough, man. But after trying to slug it out for a bit as a local opener to mainstream groups, we heard about a very pivotal opportunity. Tribe Called Quest was coming through, and I was in touch with the promoter. He put us on the bill as one of the four openers. So we roll into the show and the whole thing is running late. This is a mainstream hip-hop thing, you know, for sure. Shows are always late, especially ones with well-known artists. So they pushed back our set by several hours. Crowd just sat there for what seemed like forever. And of course, they're becoming increasingly agitated. So then we had an idea. We wanted to go on stage and incorporate a creative beatbox into the songs. I had a friend who was there hanging out. He warned us, don't do it. He said the crowd wasn't going to go for it. But I was all in for it because it had killed at the other shows we had done. The crowd tolerated us kind of for the first couple songs, but by the third song, they're just starting to become restless. Then they literally started picking up stuff and throwing it at us in massive amounts. A few started booing. The boos spread to the rest of the crowd. I don't know if you've ever experienced 800 people booing you, but there aren't many things that are much worse. At that point, I felt like we needed to cut our losses. The Golden Child, he was pretty much the scrappiest 16-year-old around. He basically said, I'll battle anybody that comes on this stage right now. That's when the crowd transformed into a mass of potential murderers. The room became a frenzy of anger, directed solely at us. I may or may not have shouted, Jesus is Lord, or something like that to that effect as I grabbed Golden Child and we fled for our lives to the backstage. Now in hindsight, I realized my philosophy was completely off. Because in reality, I was never going to get past the hurdle that was already in people's minds. I was a white guy doing hip-hop. But around that time, I had a conversation with Ambassador from Cross Movement. I told him about our dilemma. And he basically said, better they boo you for being a Christian than boo you for being a white guy. But I was so discouraged. I mean, I just wanted to give up on mainstream shows. I had basically thrown in the towel. And a couple days later, a promoter called me and asked if I wanted to open up for De La Soul in Ybor City. This is unbelievably significant because I loved De La Soul growing up. And the show was literally two blocks from where I used to live. I was super nervous because basically I had a PTSD after the whole Tribe fiasco, and I went into it prepared to get booed off the stage again. But I decided to alter my approach. I was going to let people know up front, not in a preachy way, but what we stood for. I took the advice of Ambassador. So I told the crowd we were believers in Christ and that our music was influenced by our faith right when we took the stage. Nobody booed. They sat through our songs and we made it through the set in one piece. It definitely made me realize that there is power in Jesus' name. I mean, likewise, there's no power in my own name. I have nothing to offer in and of myself. It shifted my whole philosophy. Within a year, my group with Golden Child had broke up. So once I was not in a group anymore, I started to get even more creative with how I shared my light in the darkness. One night, I went to an open mic with cassettes that had my music with a gospel presentation on them. I gave them away kind of like I would give away a gospel track. What I didn't consider was the fact that those things made great missiles. They all came flying back at me when I performed. I'm literally dodging my own music being chucked at my head. And five guys in the front row of the show put up their middle fingers right in my face as they were throwing the cassette projectiles as well. The boos started flowing in the crowd and I thought, man, here we go again. All those experiences taught me you have to shrug the losses off and you have to keep it moving. All this led to one of the bigger shows that I ended up doing about a year later. At the time, I had my first record deal, but I didn't have an album out yet. Vanilla Ice, yep, Vanilla Ice, he came to play at the same club where I had opened up for De La Soul. I connected with the promoter, and he gave me a 45-minute set. And I'd played enough shows at that point to realize a Vanilla Ice crowd is going to be different than a De La Soul crowd, which is different than a Hood Club open mic. So I really put in the work to make sure my show was on point. I had so much drive at that moment because I was in the beginning stages of going solo. I went into that show with a specific strategy. I was very upfront with who I was and my faith. The crowd actually erupted in applause. I looked out and I realized it was a completely different audience. It's mostly skater kids, which is more of a rock-oriented crowd. It went so well, this time I actually got to open up for Vanilla Ice again, but this time in my hometown. After so much trial and error with the show, and especially the ministry, I finally started to hone in on some things. I added a DJ to my show. And we played a run of shows leading up to that hometown Vanilla Ice performance. My live show was actually really starting to come together, and I wanted to be even more strategic on how I approached that night. So I printed what appeared to be club flyers. They were actually an ad for the entrance to quote-unquote Club Paradise. Really, it was a gospel track that looked like a club flyer. I thought, this is a real easy way for me to share my faith in a club. I would start a conversation by inviting someone to a special spot, and then I could open up and share about who Christ was. Now, I remember taking the stage very vividly. I told the crowd what I was about, and they started applauding. It was a good start. I actually started freestyling, and at one point, I see something fly through the air, and it hits me in the face. I start getting flashbacks again. I started bracing myself for the booze. I look down on the ground, and it's a WWJD bracelet. That's what would Jesus do? The guy in the crowd was so excited that a Christian was on the stage, he ripped off his bracelet and he threw it at me. Honestly, the show went amazing. It's almost sad to say, but I realized that I wasn't going to be accepted in a non-hip-hop crowd, at least at that point in America. The show started to make me begin to shift my thinking. I accepted that I was always going to struggle with the white aspect in a rap crowd, even though I went on to do more battles and I continued to learn how to hold my own. It really changed my philosophy in some ways. I considered that one place where the ground was hard to plow, there could be a whole nother place where it's bearing fruit. I realized there was a whole group of kids that loved hip-hop, but they weren't necessarily hip-hop kids. They were struggling, they needed someone to give them some hope. With that thought, it represented a shifting in my new music. And that thought process really built the foundation for my career for the next 10 to 15 years.